You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
The destiny of America is always safer in the hands of the people than in the conference rooms of any elite.
Sam Steeder.
They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
And I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Tuesday, November 25th, 2014. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the three-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the heartland of downtown Brooklyn.
Use it down.
On the program today, joining me in studio, don't put her microphone on yet, please.
They can still hear that somebody's talking.
That's right. It is Janine Garofalo.
Oh, is my mic not on yet?
No, your mic is not on yet. Now you can put up her mic. Got to
check.
Keep her under wraps.
Check. Mic is.
She'll
this
take
thing
liberties.
On? Is this thing on?
It is on, Janine. Michael, I may need you to move the camera a little bit. Of course, we are streaming live at majority.fm and also on our YouTube channel. As Michael brings the music down, he will then try and figure out how to use the camera. I almost should take a video of him trying to just actually shift the camera because he doesn't.
If that's happening, it won't happen. So put the camera away.
The camera's away.
Okay.
Now we can just laugh. As Michael tries to figure out a tripod. Also on the program today, as you know, last night, an announcement that there will be no indictment in the Ferguson case, at least brought by the state of Missouri. The district attorney, McCullough of that county came out and gave what, by all accounts, was a bizarre press conference in attesting to. Now, understand that a grand jury is set up to see if there is probable cause, which is an incredibly low bar to cross. Probable cause to bring charges. This is not to determine guilt or innocence. It is only to determine whether or not that there is any evidence that would actually indicate that there is a chance that a crime was committed. And the district attorney went out there and for, I don't know, 40 minutes, half hour, talked about how there was all this disparate evidence. Which in and of itself, but the preponderance of the evidence, according to him, indicates that Darren Wilson is not guilty of this crime. But that's not what the job of a grand jury is, and it's certainly not the job of a press conference to determine. That's what a trial is for. And so by going out there and simply articulating that this is why we didn't go forward, we weighed the evidence, it's indicative of the fact that there needed to be a trial.
Well, he kept mentioning the word presented, the presentation. Yeah. Oh, I feel overused the word presented, while not answering a question. But I felt like the whole press conference wasn't bizarre. What it was is what somebody does when they realize it's indefensible. Does that make sense? You know, it was like an exercise in I am fully aware that this is an indefensible thing I'm about to discuss with you.
Right.
And this is why I am doing what I'm doing and why it seems so odd to you as you're viewing it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. He was clearly defensive. He, on top of that, he was making a case as to why Wilson was innocent, and that is simply there's no part of the process where that is required. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he had to do that, you're right. It was indicative of a certain defensiveness on his part.
It seemed it just to me had such a psychological, psychosocial aspect to it. You were almost witnessing the inner struggle. Actually, he doesn't have an inner struggle with it. The full knowledge that this is
controversial,
and controversial is an understatement. You know, it's not even controversial. There isn't a controversy about what was the error there. But that a person, and in our culture, I think, and this has been shown time and time again by right wingers, the line in the sand moves and moves and moves and moves. You can just keep doing these things, and you know what I mean? Like whether it be Citizens United or the Koch brothers or Sam Brownback's experiment, any of these things that seem preposterous. If somebody were to tell you 15, 20 years ago that this is going to take place. If somebody told you what took place last night was going to take place a number of years ago, you'd go, "That can't happen." Mm. But now, it can happen, and I was not surprised by it. And also, there's always the talk of the protesters, but nobody ever talks about the asymmetric attack back at them from the police of these people. Do you know what I mean? Like every conversation revolves around, "I hope the protesters don't misbehave."
Well, there's a perfectly legitimate question, too, as to why would you make this announcement at 8 p.m. at night? I mean, look, where it was, you know, we can't get into this guy's head, obviously, but there's no – it is – on top of the fact that literally – I think the statistic – I have it here somewhere. The statistic of how many grand juries – convened, and I think the last year that they had stats was 2010. In 2010, there was, and I'm doing this from memory now because I have the document here, and I got a little ahead of myself, but there was approximately 150,000 grand juries that convened in 2010. And of those 150,000 some odd grand juries, 162,000, I should say, federal cases in 2010, grand juries declined to return an indictment in 11 of them. That's pretty rare that this happens. And we also know that the district attorney went into the grand jury process not making a case. Mm-hmm. In other words, the way that grand juries are historically are able to, as it said, indict a ham sandwich.
I was going to do the ham sandwich and I didn't do it.
It's the oldest.
I was going to say how many ham sandwiches were indicted, but that's the state of New York where that phrase comes from.
It's the oldest saying in the book. But the reason is because you go in there as a prosecutor, you determine what evidence is going to be presented. You generally do not allow the defendant to get 4 hours of uncontested testimony. I mean, people should understand what the implications of that are. Of course, the defendant is going to walk in there and has been justifiably trained by his attorney in how to present the case. Things like, "He came after me, he looked like a demon." And the reason why one would say that in this context is because you want to establish as the defendant that you were afraid for your safety and your life, that you were afraid. And you don't want to be so explicit as if to sound like you've been coached. So in other words, you say, "I saw him as the scariest thing that is the mm-hmm. primal archetype of what people are scared of. The demon, the devil was right there and he was charging at me. And I shot him once and nothing stopped him. I shot him again and nothing stopped him. I felt like an 11-year-old talking to Hulk Hogan." They're both 6'2", and they're about 30 pounds difference in weight, but that's not, you know, it must have been a very big 11-year-old mm-hmm. To have that dynamic with Hulk Hogan. I mean, all of these things, and then you do not allow – there's no cross-examination. There's no one professionally there to prosecute him. in any way. And so it's just absurd. The whole process was just developed essentially as a whitewash. And to announce the findings at 8 p.m. at night is simply a way of saying, like, how can we make sure that we actually get the reaction that we want out of this, which is, violent protests. And then we can argue, like, this is what we're dealing with.
Yeah, I felt like, again, I feel like this is all a psychological, like this is the type of thing that actually would be very normalized years and years and years ago when there was no transparency in the judicial system at all, and people would get railroaded or these non-event things would happen, or the wealthy and the powerful were always assured a free ride.
I'm not quite convinced that it's changed.
What I'm saying is it seemed like there might have been a period in the middle where it wasn't as common, although I may be just thinking that. But there's also, don't forget that I was reading an article, and you probably know about this, is it the Seitel Group, who arms SWAT teams and arms is the reason a lot of police forces state by state look more militarized. Mm-hmm. They have a contract to sell all this equipment to have your police force look quite menacing. It's right, a huge business.
Huge business.
And I feel like that also what you want if you want to continue to get these contracts and to sell this equipment, and groups like the Seitel Group, and then they have their Urban Shield, where they have like almost like a craft fair for militarized equipment, Urban Shield, and they have these fairs state by state where they sell these equipment, or they convince like the Republican Governors Association, you need to buy all this stuff. So you have a spectacle like last night, and you can have the footage of fires and burning.
Are you kidding?
And you can make
advertisement for these guys.
Yeah,
it's an infomercial.
It's all connected. But it's also something that these people feel confident in getting away with.
I would put the chances of video footage from last night ending up in one of those videos that they're going to play at one of the booths
at
those things at about 100,000%.
Or a panel about why you need blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But I feel like I was thinking about that, too. During the day, you wouldn't get the same bang for your buck if this announcement had come out during the day. Or there was a lot of grappling back and forth of how do we defend the indefensible here? It's going to take a long time for us to get this together. Who's going to go out there and say what? Well, what are we going to say? What's the story? But the use of the word present constantly of the evidence presented. This is what was presented.
In other words, you're saying the use of the passive voice makes it sound like the evidence evidence was.
That's what it was.
It exists outside of the context of anyone bringing it to the grand jury. It is just there for the grand jury. The evidence presents itself on some level.
And it's self-explanatory.
Right. Of course, is not the way our system works. Our system is one which is adversarial.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, theoretically. And there was no adversarial. And that's why it is a very low bar. And that's why people know that a grand jury indictment is not necessarily in any way indicative of your guilt or innocence. It simply says there is a low bar in which you have to clear to be charged of a crime based upon the evidence that's presented. And
or perhaps you're a ham sandwich,
or perhaps
that you don't know that about yourself, and then you're indicted, and you realize, I am a ham sandwich.
Well, in this case, I guess Darren Wilson was a turkey sandwich. And so now, with that said, the Department of Justice continues their investigation, and it's basically a two-pronged investigation. They are both investigating the actual shooting, as to whether or not there were any federal statutes, and particularly, you know, whether or not there was some type of racial bias involved in it, or excessive police force. It's unclear what the status of, well, really, of any of the Department of Justice investigations. The other one is more systemic. Is there a systemic problem with the Ferguson police force? And, you know, it really is stunning. And one thing that I also want to reiterate from yesterday is that this is just the indicator, right? I mean, this is like a mile marker is not a mile. It just indicates that you've gone, whatever it is, 5,200 steps, and this is where we connote a mile. These shootings of unarmed black teenagers are not the end of the story. They are the indicator of a larger societal problem that exists, that this is when the problem pokes its head out of the sea of problems so that we pay attention to it. But the problem is far greater, far wider, far more widespread than five unarmed black teenagers being killed by police over the course of a month in the summer. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, regardless of what – of whether or not there was an indictment, regardless of whether or not there was – a conviction, it is still indicative of a larger problem that we have in society. Although the lack of an indictment is another problem that even the system once removed from this dynamic on the streets where cops harass black people, where you can't get a cab if you're a black person. I mean, this sort of the daily I guess racial oppression that ranges from small indignities to just being treated as a de facto criminal. You know, the fact that once there's this cooling off period and we have a system that is being scrutinized by literally the whole world still is a whitewash in plain sight is pretty amazing.
That's what I'm saying. So and yet there is a level of confidence. We can do this. We will get away with this.
Yep. Well, they will.
And. What I think I was trying to articulate, and I didn't do very well a little bit earlier, was if you read about crimes committed or accusations of crimes committed under the racial umbrella of African Americans, Asian Americans, whoever the latest new Ellis Island person was back in the old days, it was just presumed they were guilty right off the bat, and there was never anything adjudicated through the courts, or every right. once in a while there would be a Boss Tweed type of guy would come out and make a ridiculous statement, much like that gentleman did, as a whitewash. That's what I think I meant. Like back then, there was no hope for transparency.
Well, now, right. Now, at least there's a sense that we really do have to pretend like we're going through the process.
Or at least you have talking about – you have – and I can't take this phrase, though. It's time for a national conversation. Are you kidding me? How many conversations can we have about – that's like saying it's time to put it on the back burner again.
Well, when you hear that it's time for a national conversation, it sounds more like CNN is going to do a special. Well,
and that it's time right. to go back on the back burner.
It's time to put it on the back burner.
That actually is literally what it sounds like to me.
Oh, I hate to digress here, but did anyone see the newsroom Sunday night? Aaron Sorkin's
newsroom.
There was a thing about climate change that was so great. I have a real love-hate relationship with that show.
Oh,
I am a
gosh.
Fan of Aaron Sorkin's, and I'm on that show's side. But you would
Are
have,
you really a fan of Aaron Sorkin's?
I am, actually. I think he's he does not insult my intelligence as a writer. He gives me the benefit of the doubt. I think he's a good mm-hmm. writer. Mm-hmm. And I also thought he was hilarious on 30 Rock. The West Wing was a very good show. How dare you?
I'm not sure.
I was on the West Wing.
I know you were on the West Wing.
Can they hear us? But be that as it may,
a little too much melodrama.
He had an EPA guy on the news station there who was at what you wish any EPA person would say to a anchor. It was the greatest piece of television, and it was very well done by he's one of the actors from The Office. Very funny guy.
Which guy?
He has kind of balding reddish hair and wears glasses. But he was the EPA guy who every time the anchor kept trying to say, what can we do? And he's like, well, nothing. And then he kept saying, well, what if we do this, this, and this? Well, 20 years ago, that would have been great. Like, it just would not. What you know what I mean? Like, would not offer any of the platitudes. And discuss that there is no head of the EPA and why there's no head of the EPA. And it was just a great – that's why I like Aaron Sorkin
sort of progressive porn for you.
Yeah, yeah. But it's not progressive porn. It's factual information, but it's in a humor. It was delivered in a humorous way.
It's porn in the sense that it actually happens. It's articulated on the news. That's the part that
I think you would very much have liked that segment, at least, of the show.
I may have. But getting back, let me just say this.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to digress.
Michael pulled a quote of W.E.B. Du Bois.
Dubois? Charlotte's Web, the author of Charlotte's Web?
Did he write that? I'm joking. A system cannot fail those it was never built to protect. And, you know.
That's right.
Certainly in Missouri, that seems to be the case.
Well, that's the case. Really, anybody transcending skin color, it usually has to do with socioeconomics. But the system was never really put in place for everybody. That's not the nature of a system that is provided by those that create it.
Right.
You know, it sort of transcends.
We're willing to let everything but money. Couple of people, you know, just statistic, you know, something that is, there's going to be some random beneficiaries of this system outside. As long as the system is fundamentally designed to protect those of us who have created it, then it's working.
Right. And when there's advances made, they'll declaw it.
If there's some crumbs that hit the floor, that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Because there's always going to be some crumbs. But in this instance, I mean, really, you know, the bottom line is, I mean, actually, I mean, let's start with the original sin, which is the governor, Democrat Jay Nixon, not appointing a special prosecutor when it was quite clear to at least everybody on the ground. I mean, you know, like I couldn't tell you who McCullough was from, you know, from another McCullough, for that matter, or anybody. Mm-hmm. But when this first went down, people in the local area were saying McCullough is horrible. And we know as soon as he is appointed to this, we know the outcome. He is that predictable. And Jay Nixon should have appointed a special prosecutor. It was quite clear that this was a foregone conclusion the day McCullough was given the task of appointing the grand jury.
But the question why though? What is it? There might be something far more insidious at play. Why would it? Because it's so blatant.
The only thing I can imagine.
What is really
the only thing I can imagine is that someone like Jay Nixon is either just pathologically racist, or, which I think is more likely, is aware that a huge percentage of his state is racist, and that if he was to do anything that could be even slightly perceived as providing some modicum of justice, then
I don't know. I don't think.
Well, maybe he thinks McCullough would run against him. I mean, I don't know.
I feel like there's something we don't know about. But also, if you think about it, the policeman in question was going to retire anyway, right? Why not just the gentleman who is now getting off?
Darren Wilson. I don't know if he was going to retire.
I think he
anyways.
Was planning on retiring within a year or so. That's what
I don't know.
I could
I mean,
be wrong about that.
I think
that.
Now he's planning to retire.
Well, one would hope. But I had heard, and perhaps I'm wrong, that he was planning. Because also in police years, you can retire much earlier than the
20 years on the force.
Than the average, you know, what we
That's
think
correct.
Of. Like
you start
65,
as a 21,
70.
Right? You usually get 20 years in. But my understanding is that he was not planning to retire. But I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I could be wrong about that, but I could.
All right. So let's
he had a lot. He had a lot of work left to do.
Well, I did hear that he was quoted as saying, "I'm getting too old for this shit." Or is that?
Nah,
or is that?
A be joking.
Is that
oh,
serious?
Oh, no, I'm just thinking of every bad movie. I'm sorry. I got it confused with bad movies.
I feel like that's usually like Eddie Murphy's boss.
No, no, no.
That,
that's
not this
any
guy.
Buddy yeah. cop film where there's an irate,
of course,
chief inspector who calls the rogue duo who are mismatched seemingly. But when the chips are down, they have each other's back.
Of course
they'll be
they
a
do.
Real hot dog and then a real by the book fella
right.
who maybe just lost his partner. No, actually the hot dog just lost his partner recently. So he's a little raw about it. Doesn't appreciate having this new guy foisted upon him by the irate, usually African-American, tough but fair.
Janine, he's got 18 months before his before he gets his retirement. Why
The guy behind the desk does. The one who forced the hot dog to take the new thing. He's the one who's getting too old for this shit. And he's been on the phone with the mayor's office all morning.
Yeah, he's ready to hand in his papers.
What are you talking about, commandeering a city bread truck to drive through a plate glass window? No. I got my ass in a sling. With the mayor and the guys upstairs, that's what he's saying.
That guy's not too old for this shit. You're thinking of that. That's the lieutenant.
Yes, I know. That's
what
I'm saying.
The lieutenant's not the guy who's too old. It's his partner who's too
old. No! The guy in the office
it's the
that
partner.
It's the partner.
It's the partner.
Oh, my God.
And I really hate to agree with Sam because he's usually wrong.
Yeah, you should hate to agree
He's usually wrong, but he's actually right about this.
The two partners are young and attractive. The gentleman in the office who is their superior is the one with his shirt sleeves rolled up, a little paunchy, has a great wife at home. And he is getting old for this
shit.
He's
not.
You are out of your mind.
I got news for you.
I will not spend one more second.
Can we get back to Jane Nixon for a second?
I know, we've got to get back to the thing, but your listeners are going to come down heavy on this
Who's the guy, the guy who's in the British guy who's got stopped, the Australian guy, Mad Max? What's his name?
You're talking about
Mad
Max.
Mel Gibson.
Mad Max is very well regarded.
And he and Danny Glover.
Yes, and it was Danny Glover who said, "I'm too old for this shit." And Danny Glover was not the lieutenant; he was his partner.
That first of all, Danny Glover was his superior. But secondly, that is an anomaly. It is usually say Tango and Cash. Have you seen Tango and Cash?
No.
Kurt Russell and Sylvester
Stallone. Kurt Russell and Tango and Cash.
Yeah, they were not too old for this shit. They were mismatched, to be sure.
Oh no, they weren't.
They were mismatched, but young enough for this shit.
Following the NASDAQ.
I'm getting too old for this.
Russell
is the older partner.
It's the police chief lieutenant.
No, it's not.
It could be both.
Somebody Google it.
You like my...
Oh, my God.
I'm getting too... Just put Google on getting too
folks,
old for this shit.
You know what? This reminds me.
All I know is I literally... I'm an AARP. I can't take
This reminds
Can we go to Jay Nixon for a second, though?
This reminds me. This reminds me. That you can help out the Majority Report. Well, all right. I was going to do a podcast. I mean, look, you know, the bottom line is that we're going to see protests around the country. We saw protests last night. There were protests in New York City. There were protests in Boston, in Seattle, in Chicago, in Oakland, and countless other cities across the country. I think we're going to see a lot more. And I don't know. It's incredibly frustrating because one does not get the sense that there's really any. Not only is there no accountability, but there does not seem to be anything to be done by it, short of what the Department of Justice could come up with. And I would imagine the federal statutes that are involved here have a higher bar insofar as they may deal with things that are extraordinary beyond an unjustified killing by a police officer, that there may not be enough clear racial intent, let's say. But I don't know what the standards are for the Department of Justice case, and I got to talk to some people. Now, theoretically, there could be a civil suit, and – frankly, I would be shocked if we didn't see a wrongful death. But you know how these type of things work out, right? 10 years later, there's a payoff for, the family gets basically just strung out. They don't have the money to support it. Maybe there'll be some free legal services. 10 years later, there's a $3 million settlement, and that's, and that's the end. Civil suit, I guess I would imagine, would be the only last recourse, if not something by the
DOJ. I think that is the only recourse they have, isn't it? Unless there's some other legal thing I'm not familiar with.
It's interesting. Producer Josh Emeritus is saying, is reminding me that there'd be a discovery process in that civil suit, and that would have value. I mean,
one of the questions that guy was saying? Somebody did bring up the discovery. Talked about the discovery process. He just again started saying present. It was present. You know what I mean? Like the denying that yeah, there should I mean, that's be the thing.
There is no in the context of a grand jury. There's not the same. Well, particularly in the context of a grand jury where there is no prosecutor,
right.
essentially prosecuting. The discovery process is not as aggressive as it would be when you have a plaintiff attorney.
But
going
he was claiming it was as if it was sort of a rigorous, as right, if it was course. A done deal. Of course, it
of
was.
Course.
It was presented and. Anyone would conclude, as we have, you know what I mean?
It but was that's the strange. Thing is that there, you know, the there's no point. He laid out this evidence, and maybe I didn't listen carefully enough, but he laid out the evidence, said some witnesses said this thing, other witnesses said something that conflicted, some witnesses conflicted their own testimony, some did, not all, and... There was no point where they said it was clear the officer was fearing for his life or there was no point where they said it was clear that this was – I mean, how do you present all that conflicting evidence mm-hmm. and say that anything is clear from this process mm-hmm. Other than just that's what the grand jury decided? You know, I mean, the grand jury was walked down that aisle and they were walked down that aisle because – The nature of a grand jury is such that you need a prosecutor who is prosecuting in the context of that grand jury. The grand juries exist for the prosecutor basically to go in there and say, here's the case. Bring it. So it's very frustrating.
I'm sure that that's the approach that he takes typically with most cases. He's right. probably like, you know, yes, there's evidence of this guy robbing a liquor store, but – There's a lot of mitigating.
Well,
I just want everybody
just
to know
it.
That
flip
as a prosecutor.
Flip
it's
it
not
for a
there.
Moment. I mean, you wouldn't yeah. even go to a grand jury probably with this, but flip
well,
it for
true.
A moment. That the armed man is a Michael Brown, and he shoots an armed cop. I mean, the idea that, well, there were some witnesses who said that he was doing it completely in self-defense, but there was other witnesses who said he wasn't. So we can't bring any kids.
Darren Wilson looked like the way drunk white people look on St. Patty's Day. And
like
that's
a
terrifying.
Demon. Like
he looked
a banshee.
Like a banshee.
Like the most terrifying thing you can
And then
conjure.
There's also like social media and stuff like that. So you got to discount that. And then different people say different things. So no charges.
But it was all presented. It
that
was presented.
Literally it was what presented. He said. Social media, different people say right. different things. And, you know, life's complicated.
Which
no
is,
charges.
Which is true.
And it's
which
the media. True. It's the media that has really made a firestorm out of this, and social media has made yeah. a firestorm out of this. No. Nothing about this in and of itself was problematic. It was all the mediation of what happened.
We should just take
that
this guy back throughout history. It would have been like you mentioned, like a spokesperson for the apartheid government. Like it's not. It's,
that's what I'm
well,
saying. These
newspaper
things, these
coverage.
Are, these have been going. This type of thing goes on all the time.
Right.
But something seemed.
Well, usually when you're sweeping something under the rug, you're not right. doing a national press conference
that's what I'm saying.
Announcing
like that,
it, like
that,
you're saying. Totally.
It's a new line in the yeah. sand, and almost as if a template. Oh, we can do this now. Right. Now I can have what seems like a transparent or information-giving session to do just the opposite. Let's see if I can get away with it, and then we will use, you know, it's
and
just...
no one will notice that I'm blaming the media circus as I hold a primetime press conference
right.
that I know will be carried by every media outlet in uh-huh. the country. And let me give you not just that. Let me give you a run up so that if you don't have your Twitter out, yeah, here's an opportunity right. for you. I mean, it's just absurd. It's you know, that is so outrageous. I mean, I don't know.
I'm
don't
sure
know
he would
exactly.
have preferred not to have addressed anything if he could have really done that. Just somebody makes a statement real quick from the office.
And I also think Jay Nixon didn't even say – I mean, we played a clip of him 2 weeks ago saying essentially if there's violence in the streets, don't come talking to me about it. I mean,
yeah,
this guy has like
conference
no
– He was just like, look,
no.
I'm
just like, these I things, wasn't elected governor to do that stuff. I said, in easy times, come to me.
But
the buck stops here, but not
But it's why you need
else.
The Sitel Corporation. If there's violence in the street,
yeah.
call the Sitel Corporation.
Call the Sitel Corp, not me.
And so I can only imagine, I don't know if I'll do this to you, Janine. Should we do a random rush?
What's that?
Do you
Should
have to
we
do
listen
that
to
me?
What Rush Limbaugh is doing now? Listen to what
I guess. Not so
Should we?
Or That's
brutal. It's up
gonna,
to you. It's
is it
going to
put you through the?
Well, how long is it?
It's like 60 seconds.
Do you want to play that Don Lemon thing instead?
Oh,
sort of funny.
Well, let's listen to Don.
I also want results from people who understand that it's the police chief who says I'm getting too old for this shit. If nothing else is accomplished.
Unfortunately,
today.
I looked it up, and it's mainly Danny Glover, and apparently he's the partner in that movie.
No, I understand that, but he's also Mel Gibson's superior.
No,
he's been there longer than Mel Gibson.
He's a veteran of the force, but he's partners.
Not a, he's not a superior.
Okay, in that one case, but how many movies, if you can
look
it up.
Whoa. You think it just ends there?
Wait, no, it doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't end there. What I am asking is, can you look up how many times in how many movies I'm getting too old for this shit or any detective genre has been stated?
There's only a limited amount of time that I'm going to spend on this, but when I did do a Google search, it did all show that specific line in Lethal Weapon.
No, I know. That's where it really was popularized.
That's a Lethal Weapon line.
That's a huge movie.
Now, there's like Eddie Murphy's chief in Beverly Hills Cop saying, shut the F up, Axel. You're annoying.
Yeah, that's very specific.
And I'm too old and blah, blah, blah.
There's
but
always,
not I'm too old for this shit.
Because always the guy that they have to go to the office to get in trouble with who says, turn in your badge, Stadenko, or whatever, which is from Cheech and Chong, Officer Stadenko. turn in your star. And he feels kind of bad about it. And your gun.
Of course.
Now stay away from this case. And what does that lead to?
Well, you know
that
the guy's
going
go
to
out
be
and moonlighting on his own case.
Because it's personal. It's personal.
It's personal, and the guy also has a trust fund, and so he doesn't need to get another job.
No. You're a good cop, a damn good cop, but I can't have you on it. I can't have it. That's when he usually says,
no,
I'm those, on
that's
the
lieutenant.
The mayor's. Yes.
Now you're in the
and
lieutenant
usually,
territory.
Usually, the lieutenant is the one who is bedraggled, older. Like I said, his shirt sleeves are rolled up, his tie is
loose. But he's not.
And he is almost always too old for this shit.
No, he's the one. He's like,
he's not
take
doing
it
the
from,
shit.
Take it from me. I enjoy my wife. I play golf.
He's too old for this insubordination.
Let's listen to Don Lemon live from Ferguson.
Does it have anything to do with what I'm talking about?
No, but you'll enjoy it, I think.
You might feel too old for this shit.
Don Lemon, are you familiar with Don Lemon? He says some of the most ridiculous.
I am not. Who is Don Lemon?
This guy, it's
CNN?
Like
I don't
every
watch CNN.
Day for this guy is just like a whole new awakening. Listen. Honestly, right? Isn't it? Isn't
he's
it,
sort of like a mean-spirited Forrest Gump. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. There's always like this quality of like, I had no idea. You know, he's. We put up my computer.
Yes, okay. Go ahead.
Don, explain where you are and what you're seeing.
We're standing right across the street from the Ferguson Police Department, Anderson. And just a couple of seconds ago, we heard one gunshot. We heard about four or five earlier as the prosecutor was making the announcement. But just the one that happened just a couple of seconds ago, people started running this way. And there were a couple of police officers in the crowd, and they're still sort of moving around here. But again, we have heard gunshots this evening, a couple during the prosecutor's announcement, Bob McCullough's announcement, and then just about maybe a minute, 2 minutes ago, just before you went to Jason Carroll, we heard a gunshot, and then people started scattering, and now they're moving back, and we're watching people. They're on top of the roofs of cars, the tops of cars, and obviously there's a smell of marijuana in the air as well. But again, gunshots here, but police are on the scene. From our vantage point, that's what we're seeing, Anderson.
Obviously. Well, he is wearing his Canadian Goose jacket. Maybe he's like the
no,
other.
No, just contemplate this. Okay?
Obviously.
This whole thing, when we talk about what a guy like McCullough, what Nixon wanted to present, like, hey, you know, let's look at Darren Wilson shooting this unarmed teenager in the context of what is going on in this cesspool. Obviously, I mean, if he could have said, if Don Lemon could have said, like, obviously there's a I can smell massive drug trade taking place here.
Well, no, that could be. Like, they would do that to the Occupy kids too. Like white college, obviously there's that transcends too. That just usually is.
Well, but the idea is that he wants to make it like obviously this is really about a criminal element, and of course Don Lemon somehow is stuck in some mentality in the 50s of like marijuana, you know, is somehow like the obviously.
Or in his defense, because he's a younger gentleman, he may be saying he was thinking aloud, or in a way he might have been thinking where can because that's an unusual thing to say.
John Lemon, are you familiar with the way
I told
Don
you
Lemon
I don't know.
Just,
Don Lemon is not looking for the hookup, Janine.
No.
Definitely
this is
not.
Don Lemon.
No.
Like I would never be caught dead in this area if I did not have to report on it. Obviously, this is the type of place where marijuana wafts through the air.
Well, then he wouldn't
and
like
other
most
criminal
cities.
Activities take place.
I don't know that that's tied to criminality so much as it may be
in this guy's
being,
mind,
being
I can assure
tied
you.
With a lack of seriousness.
This guy's mind, it is. It
meaning
is.
They're not really here to protest for moral reasons. They're, you know, they're just gathering and smoking pot. But actually, pot isn't the first thing I think anybody would think of for that gathering or any, unless it was usually like a sit-in, or where the you know what I mean, like or the way people downplay anti-war stuff.
Yeah,
they will introduce marijuana stuff.
I think
that.
The idea is like this is more of like a party. And it's just an excuse for people, and there's
that's
nothing
what I mean.
Really.
Yes, that's what I mean. Not necessarily a criminal element, but just trying to marginalize it as this is just an excuse to gather.
You know. All right. Josh, producer emeritus, has found for me what movies contain the line, I'm getting
Thank
too
you,
old
Josh.
For this shit, or similar variant. Yes, Michael, I just looked at you and
I'm,
wondered
no.
why you couldn't find this, but Josh could.
I'm getting too old for this shit. Herein, Behind Enemy Lines, POW Escape, Colonel James Cooper, The Hunter, Ralph Papa Thornton, Steve McQueen, Ladder 49, Lenny Richter, Robert Patrick, Lethal Weapon Series. Maverick, Bank Robber, Danny Glover.
Oh, to
Glover.
Be fair, Lethal Weapons, Danny Glover is a sergeant. He also did it in Maverick as a bank robber?
Right.
Wow. What
so he's a sergeant. Guess who wasn't? Mel Gibson in that. Okay. But see, it's just the oft. I'm getting too old for this crap, right? That's cleaned up a bit. The variation of Treasure Crab, I'm getting too old for this. Blade,
wow.
Cocoon, Elf, The Freshman. That's why it shocks me every time I hear it. Why would anyone say it unless you're doing it ironically? Hey, look, here's some footage of somebody doing it.
Let's see.
Oh, it was set in Showtime. Great Eddie Murphy, Robert De Niro vehicle.
Gun! Gun! See, he doesn't know this is going to be his future partner and friend.
Raj. I'm too old for this.
Yeah! See how mismatched there?
I think I'm getting too old for this stuff.
I'm getting too old for this. I'm getting too old for this.
Too old for this.
I'm too old for this.
I'm too old for this shit.
I'm too old for this shit.
I'm too old for this shit.
Will you follow me again?
He's doing it ironically.
Yes.
I'm getting too old for this shit. To the news van.
Yeah, this is Stripes. All right.
Well, I would say the next one would be I Love This Job, or I Love My Job would be the second hack off to you.
Right.
Thing.
Janine.
Yes.
I know you've already done this.
In summation, I win that argument.
Well, we're going to head to
the feel I need to
dominate funner Sam. Half of the program where we're going to go. I've got.
What, you're saying this isn't fun?
No.
You're saying that wasn't
fun? I'm saying as fun as this has been. It's about to get
It's
funner.
Going to be exponentially.
Exponentially fun.
More enjoyable.
We will have a show for you tomorrow. We're doing a couple of interviews this afternoon. So there'll be another pre-recorded show for you tomorrow. Nothing on Thursday and maybe something on Friday for members.
Are you interviewing Danny Glover?
Maybe. Unlikely, but maybe. But Janine, I know you've already done this. But for those of you who have not, folks, I have mentioned before – I mean, I don't even know why I have to repeat this part because I've actually done – I have mentioned what I've mentioned before. But I'm going to mention it again. And that is for a political podcast, very difficult to get advertising regardless of your numbers. And as such, one of the things that can really help us out and you can do to help the show is to fill out our podcast survey form so that advertisers can get a sense of what kind of things you like. Now, it's not – I know Janine, I appreciate the fact that you've pulled out your pen. Unfortunately, this is going to be on the computer. And please do not write on the screen.
Ned Ludd, Ned Ludd, Ned Ludd. I'm a Luddite.
Podsurvey.com/majority. Now, you can write that down, Janine, but you need to...
I don't need to. Like, I'm too busy smashing textile machines.
Podsurvey.com/majority.
In rural England.
You go there, it will take you 3 minutes. In fact, I think my talking about it has taken longer than it would take you to go and take the survey. But that's the way we got to roll unless you go and do the survey. Don't make me bring this up again, in other words. It's Pod Survey, P-O-D. I'm getting too old for this shit.
Hey, come on. He's 6 months away from his retirement. He's been on the phone all morning with the governor. What is this I hear about?
I got the mayor up my ass.
I got protesting. I got my ass in a sling. I can't have it, Tandino. You're a good cop.
podsurvey.com/majority. Go. It'll take you 3 minutes. You'll do us a big favor. If you want to give them your email, you don't have to. They're not going to use it in any other fashion but for to contact you. You can be in the running for a $100 Amazon gift card. If you don't want to, you can make it completely anonymous, as far as one can be anonymous these days when you do anything in our society.
Which is not anonymous.
I mean, eventually what will happen is the NSA will actually be able to just fill this out for you, or actually some other
right. Why don't you just entity. Have some arm of a surveillance business or something, fill it out.
Because that would probably cost. It's probably a paid service to do that. And this way
they
we can get our listeners to do it for free. All right, so it's podsurvey.com/majority. All right, folks, we're going to head into the funner half. For those of you who will not be joining us, have a great Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
We're going to answer some emails, some listener emails. We're going to take some IMs and some phone calls with Janine. Folks, remember, this show relies on your support. We literally 99% of our revenue comes from our members. You can become a member today at jointhemajorityreport.com. No, Janine, please do not write on the computer.
Oh, I can't.
No, you can't just write it in.
I guess I can't join.
The number is 646-257-3920. 646-257-3920 is the number. You can IM me at Majority FM or via the app, which is completely free. Don't take out your pen, Janine. It doesn't work that way. MajorityApp.com. All right, folks. See you in the funner half.